KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 34 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In local news, members of the Atlantic Fire Department held their annual recognition banquet last Saturday night. During the event, Iowa Firefighters past President Cliff Renslow presented certificates to Gene Schmeling for 25 years of service, Dustin McLaren for 20 years of service, and Russell Peck for 30 years. The department also recognized Trent Capel and Bob Reynolds for 15 years of service. Alex Smith was awarded the Rookie of the Year award. Tom Capel was awarded Firefighter of the Year, the highest award given by the department to a firefighter. In a statement, Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese said the firefighters recognized Saturday night are all very integral parts of the department and have demonstrated their commitment their entire careers. He says without members like them, the AFD could not function. The Creston Police Department is expected to release details later this morning on the arrest of a man facing 13 counts of burglary in the third degree. 18-year-old Jonathan Palmer of Creston was arrested at his residence and was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. Members of the Exira Elkhorn Kimbleton School Board will gather during a special meeting this evening at the Elkhorn Building Conference Room. The meeting begins at 5:30 and includes discussion and or consideration of financing proposals that have been opened and reviewed by Superintendent Trevor Miller and other administrative officials, along with the placement agent. The board will also discuss and likely take action on approving a resolution directing the sale of $1,005,000 in school infrastructure sales and services and use of tax revenue refunding bonds, Series 2017. Their final discussion and action item is regard to approving a bond council engagement agreement with Ehlers and Cooney, P.C. Republicans in the Iowa legislature are proposing a $40 million increase in general state spending on public schools for the upcoming year. The upcoming academic year, that is. It's about half of what Republican Governor Terry Branstad had recommended. Republican Representative Walt Rogers of Cedar Falls says estimates indicate the state will collect about $200 million more in taxes during the next budgeting year.
We just felt that $40 million of the new revenue was the appropriate amount of money that we could, in good conscience, give to K-12 education.
Rogers said a good share of the extra tax dollars coming into state coffers will be used to pay growing Medicaid costs. The GOP's spending increase for schools would amount to a roughly 1% increase in state tax dollars for public school districts. Brad Hudson, a lobbyist for the Iowa State Education Association, says schools need an increase four times as large
To make sure that kids of Iowa get a quality education.
Hudson says the 54% of Iowa school districts that have been experiencing declining enrollment need more support from the state.
Districts with declining enrollment are going to have to reduce offerings, increase class sizes, not update textbooks or technology. We think this is a travesty.
Rogers says Republicans are considering more flexibility in how state funds may be spent in schools. Plus, there could be a plan to address the inequity of lower pupil spending, per pupil spending in the state's property poor districts.
We're also obviously looking at collective bargaining discussions this year.
And Rogers says that could reduce labor costs for districts. The GOP plan would increase state tax dollar support of schools by $74 per student. Republicans in the Iowa legislature have sent the governor a bill that trims about $88 million out of the current year's state budget. State Representative Pat Grassley, a Republican from New Hartford, said the plan is a result of careful negotiations about which state government operations to target.
I don't think that there will have significant impacts because the departments, from my understanding, have been made aware of this all the way back in October, that this was a possibility, so they should have been preparing themselves.
Democrats like Representative Chris Hall of Sioux City argued the cuts were not well planned.
Everyday Iowans are experiencing the cuts that are provided in this bill, whether that's nursing home inspections or public safety and fewer troopers on the road or cuts to community colleges and Regents universities.
A few dozen protesters spent the day at the State House to demonstrate their opposition to the bill. They object to the legislature's decision to drain the $6 million out of a cultural trust fund that helped to balance the current year's budget.
The Republican lawmakers are disregarding the arts as an industry, as an economy, as a business. They're seeing it as a luxury, a frivolous thing that we don't need, rather than seeing the arts as the thing that keeps people entertained and makes people want to move here.
That's artist Kat Skyrocket, who moved from Nebraska to Iowa in 2004. The state's cultural trust fund has been used like an endowment, with about $100,000 in interest earned, handed out as grants each year. Skyrocket says the Iowans who have gotten the grants had to raise $3 in private funds to match every state dollar. Most of the protesters at the event wore black clothes. A few used white paint to write "Vote No" on their T-shirts. The group staged a midday protest on the State House steps and then sat in the House balcony into the evening hours as the House debated the bill. Governor Branstad says the $6 million in the Cultural Trust Fund is just sitting there, and it would be better for legislators to spend it now and avoid state employee layoffs.
We had to make tough decisions, and the legislature has to make tough decisions to balance the budget.
On Friday, the Iowa Supreme Court announced how it plans to deal with a $3 million budget cut. The state's court offices will close down for one day in May, and judicial branch employees will be required to take an unpaid day off. Court officials say they've been leaving jobs open and making other moves over the past few months to prepare to pare the court's budget. Elsewhere in the news, the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office's a traffic stop early Sunday morning resulted in the arrest of a Crawford County woman on drug and other charges. A deputy on routine patrol noticed a vehicle with no license plate lamp traveling on Railroad Highway at around 2:10 a.m. Sunday. An investigation following the traffic stop resulted in 27-year-old Karen Malara of Denison being taken into custody for driving while barred, possession of a controlled substance, 4.1 grams of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Also arrested on Sunday was 61-year-old Douglas Leaders of Hancock. He was charged with OWI second offense, first-degree harassment, and simple domestic assault following an incident involving his wife at around 4:10 a.m. Sunday at a home located in the 35,000 block of Pin Oak Road. The call was originally dispatched as an armed subject call. Leaders was said to have had suffered minor injuries during the incident. And a Pottawatomie County deputy arrested 32-year-old Cassandra Lynn Johans of Carson Friday afternoon at Jenny Edmondson Hospital, in part for an incident that took place 11 a.m. last Sunday, January 22nd, at the Carson United Methodist Church. Johans was arrested on a warrant for probation violation and a charge of harassment of the third degree for the incident that occurred January 22nd. She was being held at the Jenny Ed for the harassment charge resulting from a welfare check at the church. Page County Sheriff's deputies assisted Clarinda police on Saturday in locating a man wanted in connection with an alleged incident of domestic abuse assault in Clarinda. Deputies found 26-year-old Justin Leo Powers of rural Clarinda at his residence and took him into custody. Powers was transported to the Page County Jail, where he was held without bond on the domestic abuse assault charge, pending an appearance in front of the magistrate. And the Union County Sheriff's Office said yesterday excessive speed was partly to blame for a non-injury accident that occurred late Friday night. 18-year-old Colton Phelps of Creston was traveling west on the 4 Mile Creek Drive at around 11:10 p.m. Friday when he failed to slow down for the posted sharp curve ahead in the road. Phelps told authorities when he swerved to miss a deer on the road, his pickup went off the road and ended up in the west ditch before hitting a tree and a fence. Damage from the incident amounted to $10,500. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.